preach something different. I was reading my Bible just the other day and seeing it, but I started on a phone call this morning early where a person had just been really going through it and just didn't know what to do. They said their brain is in a fog, and life is not fair. And then I took them to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I didn't even get to give this to the media team, and it's my fault. It's not theirs. It's totally my fault. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and this is what I told them. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. Verse 8 reads this: we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Are you thankful for the Word of God? It's an encouraging Word, letting you and I know that whatever you're going through, yes, the Lord has taken into consideration that you and I are just mere vessels. We are jars of clay, weak, broken. We have more questions than we do answers, but God Almighty chooses to get involved with our humanity. God Almighty wants to wrap His arms around you today. Would you shout hallelujah? So that's where we're going to talk about is earthen vessels. Paul is instructing us in his letter recorded to the church of Corinth. He's letting us know that we have a revelation of the light. Jesus Christ dispels darkness. Go ahead and read your Bible. Matter of fact, you and I can practice it on a daily basis just by flipping the switch on and off. Darkness leaves when light appears. It was recorded from the very beginning of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Notice that very words, and the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day, the third day. But please indulge me for a moment as I reiterate a few points that was made throughout this process, this terror-ridden movie of sorts we've been living through called life. In that dark moment, the Spirit of God moved. I rise to this pulpit on this Sunday morning to let you know that God moves in the dark, that God Almighty knows exactly what you need, that God moves when you have questions, that God moves when you're fearing another onslaught of emotions. Everybody say it, God moves. You see, God makes a habit of moving and speaking in the dark. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And evening and morning were the first day. Again, you can read that phrase on multiple occasions. Again, the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day. The evening and the morning were the third day. So you see here, this is where I gather hope. Just when you and I think that God has abandoned us, hear me today, He's moving on your behalf. He is light. He wants to dispel the darkness. He wants to give you and I hope today that He still moves. Would you clap your hands and shout hallelujah? The word move, excuse me, I guess that water went down the wrong pipe. Water's moving in the wrong way. The word move, though, it means to relax. It means to brood over, to flutter over, to hover over. You see, what this is reading like is that God is hovering over me. Now, I'll be the first to admit I don't have a green thumb, nor do I possess in me the ability to have multiple animals. I've got one animal and I've got three kids. Fair, thank you. And I struggle with raising kids. I'm good with the dog. But animals, they're not really in my wheelhouse, especially chickens. Anybody raising chickens out there? A few chicken raisers, I guess. I don't know what you call yourself, a chicken farmer or something. But I started looking at the word move. And the writer is wanting to present to us a word picture. The writer is attempting to give us a verbal description of how best to describe the moving of our Lord God Almighty in creation. Everybody say, God moves. It means brooding over, hovering over, fluttering over as a mother hen. And again, I'm no farmer. So I did what every person like me that doesn't do farming. I didn't go to somebody with experience. I went to the internet. I went to Google. How many know what I'm talking about? That's a dangerous thing, ain't it? And I am no way calling God a chicken, let alone a mother hen. But in order for us to truly grasp, as many believe it was Moses who wrote this, he was painting this word picture that he said, and the Spirit of God brooded over the face of the waters. Kathy Shea Mormino, according to her website, and she is affectionately known internationally as the chicken chick. And she writes, the sweetest hen in a flock is barely recognizable when they're brooding. When she is approached, she growls, she shrieks, she puffs out her feathers, she pecks at the intruder, trying to be as intimidating as possible in the defense of her eggs. End of quote. Can I just boldly declare that when God Almighty is moving over us, He will defend you and I from evil. He will defend you and I as a mother hen does the chicks. He will do what it takes to dispel the offense against you. Hebrews chapter 13, 5 reads, for He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. John 16, these things I've spoken unto you that you might have peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. In the world, you're going to have trouble. In the world, you're going to have trials. In the world, you're going to face sickness. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. Don't lose hope. I have overcome the world. I like this scripture, Isaiah 59 and 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. One translation reads like this, look and listen. God's arm is not amputated. He can still save. God's ears are not stopped up. He can still hear. There is nothing, there is no thing wrong with God. If you have a need, there's nothing wrong with God. If you've got a situation, there's nothing wrong wrong with God. He wants to move over you. He wants to dispel the darkness. Somebody shout hallelujah. David so ably penned these words in Psalms chapter 23 and verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I walk through deep darkness, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. How many's ever had deep, dark valleys? How many's ever been in a moment where you just, everything around you seems dark, but guess what? We're earthen vessels, and God chooses to show himself to us and through us. We just got to be willing to give it to Jesus. We've got to be willing to be filled with Jesus. Can somebody shout amen? Amen. You see, God moves in our dark moments. God moves. He hovers over us in those weak moments. He protects us in those moments of fear and when we battle the unknown. And dare I remind us the conditions before God even began to move and speaking over creation. The Bible says it was void. It was waters. It was rocky land masses. It was chaotic at best. Which gives me hope today that God Almighty is not turned aside by my chaos or my crises. That God Almighty is not taken back when the order of my personal world becomes muddied by my fears and faithlessness. He's not at all taken back when I have more doubts than I do strength. He is not hampered from moving because of my anxieties or my depressions. God Almighty will move. He will dispose of the darkness in your chaotic moments. So don't fear the dark moments. God knows how to move in the dark. Matter of fact, he's not afraid of the dark. Look at somebody say, he's not afraid of the dark. God has a habit of moving the most dire situations. He has no qualms about moving in the dark. I say again, he's not afraid of the dark. You see, darkness, though, it's not measurable per se, although some have attempted to measure it. They have attempted to say that you can measure the matter of darkness or how darkness absorbs something. Some have in a study determined that dark matter should have a speed of 54 meters per second or 177 feet per second, which is extremely slow compared to the speed of light. You see, darkness is simply this, the absence of light. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul is teaching the Corinthian church the principle of the light of Jesus. Matter of fact, when Jesus steps on the scene, he pushes out spiritual darkness. John chapter 1, verse 1 reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him were not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not." One translation reads like this, "Everything was created through him. Nothing, not one thing came into being without Jesus. What came into existence was life, and the life was the light to live by. The life light blazed out of darkness. The darkness could not put out the light. Darkness cannot put out light." I'm thankful today that no matter how dark my situation is, when Jesus steps on the scene, he dispels darkness. Darkness cannot put out the light. Matter of fact, darkness, no matter how dark our situation is, darkness cannot handle the likes of Jesus called the Christ. You see, the message of the gospel, reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, that very thing, it reads in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that the gospel dispels darkness. I'm thankful today for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Aren't you thankful for the death, the burial, and the resurrection? That's the good news according to the Word of God. I've got good news for you today that Jesus died. He was buried. He raised again on the third day. He did that, and because of that, He can move and dispel whatever darkness you might feel. See, He dispels the darkness of diseases. Isaiah 53 and verse 5 reads, "But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed." You see, the blood from the stripes on His back were for our physical healing. How many know that Jesus is a healer? How many's ever experienced that in the midnight hour when your baby was sick and the only one you could call on was Jesus, and you simply said the name of Jesus and God healed them? I'm thankful that we serve a healer today. And the Word says that by with His stripes we are healed. So it is through that blood of Jesus Christ, the covenant keeper, that with His stripes we retain and receive our physical healing. But then what do we do about the blood that was shed on His head from the crown of thorns, where they pressed that crown of thorns on His head? Some say those thorns were a minimum of 2 to even 3 inches long. And just, could you imagine a splinters just being put into your body, forced on your head? And we see that, yes, it's with those stripes we're healed, but what about the blood that was shed that ran down His head, down His cheek, down through His beard? The blood from the crown of thorns was for the healing of our mind and our emotions. I want to let you know that the blood wants to heal you. Jesus' blood is here to raise you back up emotionally, physically. Oh, hallelujah. God wants to restore you spiritually today. Scripture reads like this, Philippians chapter 2, 9 through 10. "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee's going to bow of things in heaven and things in the earth." I don't know what name situation you're dealing with, but it must bow subject to the name of Jesus. If it's sickness, it must bow to Jesus. If it's cancer, it must bow to Jesus. If it's depression, it must bow to Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. And when we speak that name, heaven stands at attention and hell shakes. There's power in the name of Jesus. It's the light of the gospel that dispels the curse of sin. Sin, you can read it, it's the light of the gospel that dispels the works of sin. Sin, it was with us from the beginning of time. Psalms chapter 51 and verse 5 reads, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Now, point your finger, because it's going to feel good for a second. Look at somebody and say, "You're a sinner." Some are thinking, "Don't judge me. I feel judged." Paul said, "I'm the chief sinner. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." See, in the Bible, the word sin, whether you want to interpret it from the Greek or the Hebrew, sin simply means this: to miss the mark. This definition is so important because it points to two things. First, there is a target that we are aiming at. And second, it speaks of our intentions. Because once we know there's a target, then we can choose to either hit it or miss it. Some would say amen. Of course, we understand that the target is heaven. The target is doing God's word and commands. And when we miss that target, we have committed a sin. We have committed an error. And like an arrow misses the shot from a bow that cuts through the air, it wanders about, not hitting the target, but rather hitting anything that it comes with. And it comes with repercussions and judgments. For the Bible reads in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Here it is. This is why we can look at each other and look in the mirror and say, I'm a sinner. Look, why don't you just say that? I'm a sinner. Romans chapter 3, 23 says, for all have sinned. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have missed the mark. We aimed, but we've missed the mark for whatever reason. Maybe we got distracted. Maybe we started looking around of what's going on around us and the temptations around us. I don't know. Maybe that's what caused us to take aim and miss. But hey, hear me today. Every last one of us have been distracted by temptation, fallen into temptation, and fell into sin. Some would say amen. Romans chapter 6 and 23 says this, for the wages of sin is death. For the paycheck of sin is death. But I like that second part. But the gift of God. Aren't you thankful for the gift of God? Aren't you thankful that Jesus Christ came and died for you and I? It's the light. It's that light that will dispel darkness in you. It will dispel the sin. It will push it away. I'm thankful today that you and I are earthen vessels and we can show forth the light of Jesus. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, sin, it's literally bondage. It holds us captive. It holds us as its slave. If anybody's ever been bound by some sort of addiction, it doesn't matter what it is, any kind of addiction. You could be addicted to eating, to shopping, to drugs. Come on, somebody. You could be addicted to video games. Come on. Am I meddling yet? Am I hitting home with us yet? Yeah. We can be addicted to anything that will cause us to lose or to cause us to become distracted to where we miss the mark. If you want to see heaven, you got to make sure you're not letting the distraction become the main attraction. But sin, it's bondage. It holds us captive. Jesus taught this principle to the Pharisees found in John chapter 8, 34, 35. I'm going to read a modern translation. Jesus said, I tell you most solemnly that anyone who chooses a life of sin is trapped in a dead-end life and is, in fact, a slave. A slave cannot come and go at will. You see, Jesus, he uses this analogy of a slave and his or her master because when you and I sin, we belong to the master. For you see, slaves have no will of their own. Say, slaves simply do what they're told and expected to do. Slaves carry the weight and burdens of their master and without a right of retribution. They are literally in bondage to their master. And when sin is our master, we're unable to resist it. We will do what that addiction tells us to do. And again, you can call an addiction whatever you want. We're just throwing it out there. That's a pretty broad term, isn't it now? Some are spiritually bound by sinful choices. Even when they want freedom, it seems unattainable. They say things like, I want to be loose from these invisible chains. I want a deliverance for those desires that doesn't line up with God's word. I don't like who I've become. I don't like what I'm doing. And they are bound to the wicked slave master of sin. You see, we are simply doing what we are incarcerated by. No matter how hard we try, no matter how hard we want to quit, we do what the slave master demands. But watch this, the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection, it dispels the darkness of sin over our lives. I'm thankful today that we can have the gospel shine, can fill our lives and shine through us. It's the good news. Romans 5:19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience one shall be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. Grace will supersede your sin. We serve a God that will supersede your sin. He will supersede it when you miss the mark. Are you thankful for the grace of God? Shout hallelujah. One translation makes it a little more plain. One man said to God and put many people in the wrong, said no to God and put many in the wrong. One man said yes to God and put many in the right. All that passing laws against sin was to produce more lawbreakers, but sin didn't and doesn't have a chance in competition with the aggressive forgiveness called grace. When it's sin versus grace, grace wins hands down. Grace wins every time. When it's sin, when it's I'm missing the mark, when I'm not doing what I need to be doing, grace wins every time. I just got to come broken as an earthen vessel and let God fill our lives. When it's sin versus grace, grace, it wins every single time. And grace doesn't just mean this undeserved favor. It literally means that, but it also means an extension of or over. So when you receive God's grace, you are not just receiving His undeserved favor, but He is willing to cover you. He's willing to fill you. He's willing to pick you up. I'm thankful today for the grace of God that's willing to get down in the dirt and in the mud of my sinful choices and pick me up. Are you thankful today? Clap your hands and thank the Lord. We love you, Lord Jesus. Jesus said in John 8:36, so if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Slave to sin, maybe. But hear me today. Jesus came to give you life and life more abundant. I'm thankful today that Jesus has come to set us free. You might be a sinner, but guess what? Grace does much more abound. You might miss the mark, but thankful. We're thankful for the blood of Jesus. We're thankful for the death of Jesus. That Jesus' grace is sufficient. It's when He leans in and covers us. I'm thankful for the grace of God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Thankful today that we can be born again. Where the old me, the old you, can be buried with Him in baptism. And we can be renewed by the Spirit of our God. And we will become what we once, or what we want to be and aren't what we used to be. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm not who I used to be because Christ liveth in me. When we, I'm thankful. We're earthen vessels that God Almighty chooses. In our frailties, God chooses to fill us and dispel darkness. See, when we're born again, that generational curse of the family tree. You know, how many's ever heard about generational curses? Yeah. Generational curses. And I'm this way because mama did this, or because my granddaddy did this, because grandpa beat mama and mama now beats me and I'm going to turn around and I'm going to beat my kids, or because so-and-so was an alcoholic, it's in my blood, it's in my DNA, it's in my genes. It's a generational curse that comes down through the generational tree. But hear me today, that curse can be broken by the one who hung on the tree called Calvary. You just got to get a new heart, a new mind. You can be born again. And break down that generational curse, that tree that you claim. You can be born again, and Christ Jesus can live in you and make you and I new. It's the light that God Almighty wants to dispel in darkness. Are you thankful for the new family tree? The new family tree. You see, he dispels darkness by the light of the gospel. Here, the Apostle Paul, he wanted them and he wanted us to know the light of the gospel, it doesn't come through us because we're perfect, or we represent a perfection or an image of angelic living. Are there any angels in the house here? Some's like, yeah, me, but I got dirty wings. We certainly don't proclaim the gospel through our perfection, because it comes from him and him alone. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5 reads, "For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Christ's sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." You see, the only God you and I will ever see is in the face of Jesus Christ. For in him, the Bible says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians 2:10 says, "And you are made full," or made complete, "in him." I'm going to tell you and I what we need to do. If you want to be complete, you got to be filled full of him. You need that light to dispel darkness. And then we find this, that he shines through our darkness. He shines through our brokenness. That the Lord, he shines through our ups and downs. His light shines through our imperfections. He shines through our weaknesses. Matter of fact, he shines through us despite our humanity. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 reads this, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." We have the light of the gospel in these frail vessels, so that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And he reads this, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." One translation reads 2 Corinthians 4:7, the NASB says, "But we have this treasure in earthen containers, so that the extraordinary greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves." The reason why we are anything today is because the power of God works in us. We are, as what Paul declared, earthen vessels. We are frail. We are fragile. We are complex. We have ups and downs, which lets me know that as earthen vessels, his light will shine through our brokenness. That his light shines through our imperfections and weaknesses. And that we could take great hope in knowing this, that Jesus took into consideration our humanity when he entrusted you and I with the gospel. For Paul knew and said, 2 Corinthians 4:8, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but we're not destroyed. We're in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. The musicians could come. Look at that. I'm getting you out a little early. Your pot roast might be done, not done before you get home. Earthen vessels. Earthen vessels. Earthen vessels. Many times we say we're not worthy of Jesus. We're not worthy of his love. It's okay. It's probably true. None of us are. But according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul's letting us know you're an earthen vessel. You're just a vessel. You're just frail. But yet still God wants to get involved in your world. You get sick. You get disappointed. You have ups. You have downs. Face trouble, you deal with disappointments. It's an earthen vessel, yet God still wants to fill you with his light. Paul said, we're troubled on every side. We're hard pressed. We're restricted by pressure. We're pressed together, which brings friction. He said, we're distressed. We're severely cramped. We're perplexed. We're at a loss. Has anybody ever found themselves to be at a loss sometimes? Come on, let's be honest. Let's all stand. Have you ever felt like the pressure is restricting you from joy? The pressure of the news, of the doctor's report, is restricting you from joy? Have you ever felt like whatever the situation is, you just are in a tight spot? You're at a loss. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. But not in despair, which means without resources, to be utterly at a loss or no way out. We may be pressed, we may be in a tight place, we may not know what to do, but guess what? We're not without resources, because Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. So all of our ups, all of our downs, all of our doubts and fears, there is a promise that you will not be left without resources. He is everything you need. Everything you need. So my message for this first day of June for us today is this. Not only can Jesus move into your situation and dispel the darkness of despair, sickness, shame, and sin, but he took into consideration our humanity and chooses to shine through us no matter what. That's it. You're an earthen vessel. You're an earthen vessel. Jesus, he took into consideration the frailty of life. Took into consideration the brokenness that we'll present to him. And he's saying, that's okay. You're an earthen vessel. Now let me fill you with light. If you want the light of the gospel to shine in your life, would you grab the hand of a person next to you if it's appropriate? And maybe step out from where you are. Maybe you feel today like you measure your day by checking off tasks and meeting expectations, and all of that is so heavy, and there you wonder, does Jesus see me? Lord Jesus, don't you see what I'm going through? Jesus, do you care? Because you see, this faith walk is certainly much more difficult when blind faith is required to move forward. I think it was Sister Michelle said something about the left hand of God. It says in Job, it's at the left hand where he doth work, where he works. It's at the left side of God. It's when you're least expecting it, he's working behind the scenes. I want us to walk out of this place knowing some biblical truths that you're not alone. And you, yes, you are an earthen vessel. It might just be something that is a little broken. It's well worn and even cracked by despair and depression, ups and downs. The scripture says he will never leave you nor forsake you. Would you lift your hands right now, begin to thank the Lord that you're an earthen vessel, broken, in despair.